My name is Brian Carr, and I'm happy here to tell you about Social Hash, an assignment framework that we use to optimize distributed systems operations at Facebook. Many of my co-authors are here as well. And to start off with, I'm going to try to explain to you the types of problems that Social Hash solves, and these are assignment problems. And I'm going to go through an example to give you an idea of what an assignment problem means. Simply, an assignment problem takes objects, and here the objects are represented by HTTP requests, and assigns them to some component of a distributed system. In this example, which is a routing, we're going to assign our requests to front-end clusters at Facebook. And so on the left, I have example objects. These are requests labeled by users, here Alone and Igor. When Alone's request comes in, it's sent to a point of presence, a load balancer. That load balancer decides which front-end cluster to send Alone's request to. And then when Alone's request reaches the front-end cluster, his request requires some data to be answered. We might store that data in cache and after retrieving it from a back-end system. And then when Igor's request comes in, the same thing happens. It goes to a point of presence. Maybe it's sent to a different front-end cluster, and he also has to gather some data into cache. What's important, though, is that Igor and Alon share friends, and so if instead we sent them to the same place, we would have less objects in cache. We wouldn't have as much duplication in our front-end caches. And so the choice of how we assign objects to, how we assign requests to front-end clusters affects the performance of our distributed system. In this case, in the example, due to the performance of its cache. So we can optimize our system by grouping requests together and sending them to the same place if we know that they're similar. In this case, we know Igor and Alon have similar friends, so we can put them in a group represented by this circle and send them to the same front-end cluster. And so Social Hash is about, the way Social Hash works is it groups objects together and sends them to distributed system components. However, we can't use any grouping of the objects, and we have particular requirements on what a solution can look like. The first is that it needs to be balanced. Each of our front-end clusters needs to receive similar traffic. The next is it needs to be adaptive. If one of our front-end clusters goes down, Alone's request needs to be sent somewhere else. And next, it should be stable. If Alone's requests are asking for the same data records over and over again, we want his request to always go to the same place. And then finally, we want the decision to be fast. The load balancer can't add latency to Alone's request when it decides where to send it. And so the Social Hash framework is a way to accomplish this grouping that would improve our distributed system while meeting all these requirements. The way it works is shown on this slide, conceptually, where there's two levels. At the bottom are the objects that we're going to assign to some component. These in our example that we've discussed so far, these were HTTP requests. But they could also be data records or other things. And we're going to group them together in a step that we call the static assignment. So this is going to be some heavyweight optimization that we're going to do to find objects that we think are similar, objects that we think sending to the same place will improve our distributed system. And then the second layer of the framework is taking those groups and actually assigning them to components. And that step we call the dynamic assignment. And components, besides for front-end clusters, they could be something like a storage system in another example. So I'm now going to discuss both the static assignment and the dynamic assignment in detail to give you an idea of what both of those steps involve and how we accomplish them. So as I said, the goal of the static assignment is to take similar objects and put them into the same group, such that sending them to the same component should improve the performance of our system. The way we do this in practice is that we have some data access pattern, and we're going to represent it as a graph. And then we're going to apply graph partitioning on that graph to group objects together. We do this graph partitioning in Apache Giraffe. It's slow, but we can apply it to extremely large graphs. And as an example here, I have a graph that's not extremely large that we're dividing into two parts. The dynamic assignment, on the other hand, is meant to maintain load balance. So here, this is the second level, where we're assigning groups to components. If we assigned all objects to one group, each of those groups might look very different, and each component might see very different load. So instead, we need this second level to have more flexibility in the assignment from groups to components. And we might need that flexibility for hardware changes. Machines could go down. Machines could get upgraded. The workload might change. It could be that which objects are similar might change over time. And so we need to perhaps adjust for that. And also, there could be new objects that come in over time, like new users might arrive, new friendships might form, and a variety of other things that we need to account for in the dynamic assignment. So the main point here is that the social hash framework separates our optimization from this flexibility and adaptation in the second level. The static assignment, the optimization, is something slow and heavyweight. It's not something that we can do very often, but it's meant to capture similarity that persists over a long period of time. And then the dynamic step accounts for these fast changes that might be unpredictable that we need to use to keep our system balanced in production. And what controls the trade-off between optimization and adaptation here is the group-to-component ratio. If we have a very large number of groups, that gives us a lot of flexibility in our dynamic assignment. But if we have less groups, we might be able to do a better job of optimization. We might be able to better put similar objects into the same groups. So the implementation, as a rough sketch, is shown in this slide. So if we start in the oval at the lookup request, we have some object which is labeled by a key. And we take that object and we map it into the social hash table. This is the output of our static assignment, the output of our graph partitioning. That table returns us a group, and then we map a group into an assignment table that's the output of the dynamic assignment. And that that table returns the component, which we send back to the request. And one complication here is that the key could be missing. This could be a new object, in which case we have a consistent key assignment rule that will always send the same new key to the same group. And you can imagine this as just some consistent hash function. Now that I have a high-level overview of what the framework is, I want to delve into the two production examples that I'm going to discuss today. The first is request routing at Facebook. So our objects here are HTTP requests that are identified by the user. Our components are front-end clusters. And our dynamic assignment, our load balancing, is going to be performed by a hash ring on the point of presence. This hash ring controls the amount of traffic, which in this case is the number of groups, that goes to each of these front-end clusters. So for the for the static assignment for Facebook's web routing, what we decided to do was take the Facebook friend graph and divide it into groups using graph partitioning. And the results of that computation I show in the figure on the right for a variety of numbers of groups. The y-axis here is the fraction of friendships that we keep within groups. And what you see is a trade-off that when we use a large number of groups, our optimization doesn't perform as well. We don't put as many friendships within the groups. And when we use a small number of groups, we do much better. It turned out that for production purposes for routing, we needed to use 21,000 groups to assign to on the order of tens of front-end clusters. And with this number of groups, around half of the friendships were within groups. So if we just kept this partition static over time, it would decay. New friendships would be formed, new users would come in, and so we need to update it. And we determined that if we update it on a weekly basis, moving around 1% of the objects, that was sufficient to maintain this fraction of friendships over time. So to test this, we ran an experiment in production. This experiment is run between the two red lines on this figure. And what we did is we took a random selection of groups and we sent them to one front-end cluster, and then we took a random selection of users from the remaining set of users and sent them to another front-end cluster, where these two front-end clusters are otherwise identical. And then what we measured, at least in this slide, is the tau miss rate. So tau is a front-end cache that we use at Facebook. And a better miss rate is a lower one. And so what we see here is that the social hash cluster has around 26% smaller miss rate than the cluster that was just sent random users. We also measured a variety of other quantities in this test that you can find in the paper. But for the purposes of having enough time here, I want to discuss the other application as well. And that other application is storage sharding. In the storage sharding problem, our objects are data records and our components are storage machines. On this slide, the yellow rectangles correspond to storage machines, and the data records are represented as users by the pictures of people's faces. And so the type of what we're considering in the storage sharding problem is answering queries with this system. And here, Arun is submitting a query for his friends that are represented by these faces. And his query currently has to contact all of the machines to be answered. But notice, if we instead organize the users differently, put the data records differently on these machines, Arun's query won't have to contact as many of them. So the number of machines Arun contacts, we're going to refer to as the fanout. And lower fanout for his query can be useful because there's less serialization of the request, less deserialization. He's also much less likely to hit a slow machine if he contacts less of them. So, of course, the total latency of his request is going to be determined by the slowest of the machines that he contacts. So less machines is better in this case. And so what we did for our static assignment in storage sharding is we minimized the fanout directly through bipartite graph partitioning. We created a graph that contains recent queries and the data records that they accessed, and we put an edge between the query and the data record if the query accesses that data record. Then on the right, I show the results of our fanout minimization as a function of the number of groups. The first thing to notice is that at a fixed number of groups, the average fanout is way less than that number of groups. So if you look at 300, the value is close to 12. So we're actually doing a good job combining objects together in the sense that the fanout in our system will be substantially less than it would be otherwise. Then for comparison, I also include what would happen on the slide if we optimized for edge locality instead of fanout, and that's the dotted line. And so that also reduces fanout, but doesn't do it as much as the direct fanout optimization does. We deployed this solution to a graph database with thousands of storage servers at Facebook. We decided with that system to use a group to component ratio of 8. You notice that this number is much lower than what we use for HTTP request routing, and the reason is that we needed much less flexibility to shift groups across components in the storage sharding deployment because we had a much better idea of historical load on this system. And further, it's more difficult to move groups across components in the storage sharding environment than it is in our routing environment. We also need to maintain our partition to avoid our fanout increasing over time, and we saw that if we updated the partition every few months, that was sufficient for our storage sharding application. The results here were that our average latencies decreased by over 50%, and the CPU utilization of the storage sharding system also decreased by over 50%. It's probably obvious that assignment problems are common in distributed systems design. And what I've shown here is, and I told you about, is the social hash framework for solving these types of problems in the context of requirements that we might have for online social networks. The two-level design is the main point here, where we're going to separate our optimization from our adaptation. And the reason we're going to do that is that we have a time scale separation. Similarities last over a long period of time, so we can do some heavyweight optimization. And then our load balancing is something we need to do fast. And so we're going to do that at a higher scale, at the group scale. I described to you two Facebook integrations that have been in production for over a year. The first is request routing, where I showed you that we get a 25% reduction in our tau miss rate by doing this. And I also told you about our storage sharding application, where we saw that latency and CPU utilization were both reduced by over 50%. Thanks, and I'm happy to take any questions.
Hi, Saf from Stanford. I really like this talk. Quick question. So you said that reducing the fan out actually kind of reduces the time to fetch the objects. Why is that always true? I mean, if you have some fan out, don't you get parallelism in terms of getting the objects?
So one thing that we discussed in the paper is that when you reduce fan out, the maximum number of keys you request from any one of those machines might increase compared to if you had a random distribution of keys across machines. And so what we show, though, is that with at least the storage servers we had, that we can use within machine parallelism to make up for that. That we have several cores, CPUs on these machines, and this, that they're fast enough that it's actually better to have lower fan out and potentially more keys sent to each machine than it is to have a small number of keys sent to a large number of machines.
Yeah. So you would take the fan out to one, basically?
Maybe. Certainly our partitioning was not sufficient to do that.
Hey, Rachita, UC Berkeley. So thanks for telling us some of the secrets. So I want to get into one secret here. This 25% reduction in tau miss rate, was it from getting 1% miss rates to 0.75, or was it from 10% to 7.5%? So that's one. And the second thing is some of the details about the static assignment. So it's very interesting that you used a custom graph. You built a custom graph, which was users and their access request rates for doing the static assignment. I would have assumed that you would do a combination of the Facebook friendship graph and the access rates to do static assignment during, or graph partitioning during static assignment. Could you say something about that?
Yes. So on the first point, I don't have absolute numbers for you, so I can just give you relative numbers right now. But with regards to the graph that we use in the graph partitioning, it's totally application dependent, and we'll use a graph that we think best represents the distributed system in question. Like if we have a detailed log of queries and which data records that they access, like that's probably ideal for our case.
About the absolute numbers, I had to try.
It's not being recorded.
How frequently do you need to change the dynamic assignment, and what effect does change in dynamic assignment have on performance?
Again, this is application dependent. The dynamic assignment in the request routing application can be very quick. It might happen on the scale of, it needs to happen on, might be like minutes to, or so, but on the storage sharding application, it needs to be much. It can be much slower, and there it's also more difficult because we have to physically move data records across machines, and so we try to actually avoid it unless it's needed for the storage sharding application.
I mean, in the caching application, if you change the dynamic assignment, you need some time for caches to warm up. So do you see performance degradation due to that?
Certainly we need. It turns out one thing is that. Since the requests that we're sending to this new front end cluster are clustered together, you might actually expect that the cache warms up faster because they're requesting similar objects.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Brian.